I'm Paul Wegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today are the leaders, the co-founders of Gable Music Ventures, currently the chief executive officer, Gail Dillman, and the chief operating officer, Jeremy Hebel. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Great to have you both here today. Gable Music Ventures has been so active and prominent in featuring, coordinating all sorts of performing arts in the greater Wilmington area. And we will at some point get to the Ladybug Festival. But first, Gail, a little bit about Gable Music Ventures, how you came to be, and what sort of your mission is.
Okay. Well, we have been around for 6 years, which I can hardly believe 6 years have gone by. And we started, I started with a thought. My own daughter was trying to play guitar and go out and perform, and there were very few places for a 16-year-old to perform. And I got this idea that we really should be able to showcase original music in some fashion. And where could we do that, and how could we do that? So, like any good mother, I decided I'm going to create a business to start to, you know, work with emerging artists and showcase their music. So that's sort of how it all got started. I thank my daughter a lot for giving me the incentive and the idea, the inspiration to put together Gable Music Ventures. And Gable is a combination of my name and Jeremy's last name. And that's, people often ask, how did you come up with Gable? Well, that's where the actual name came from. So we started the business doing little pop-up shows in Wilmington down on Lower Market Street, where nobody was going to at the time in 2011 and 2012. There was no one down there. We started these shows for original music at Film Brothers when it was Film Brothers down there. And we would stand there in the street going, does anybody know that we're here? Does anybody want to see original music? So it was a little bit of a uphill climb for a few years. But we do a lot of different things. And booking music is one of them. Creating special events like Ladybug is another. Mm-hmm. But we work with lots of different kinds of artists now. We've grown a lot in 6 years.
Now, it's interesting, the activity you're involved in, because it resonates with a lot of studies about participation in the arts. There's, you know, you hear often that, you know, there's less engagement in the arts, less participation in the arts, because people can go to their, you know, tablets, their phones, whatever. But what studies are actually showing is that people are still engaged in the arts. They're just engaged in more non-traditional ways. Could you speak to that and sort of how you serve that mission?
Sure.
Serve that reality?
So music puts you in the moment. And when you're seeing live music, it's a different experience than listening to it off of your phone or in your car or at home. It's a completely different experience for me personally. We try and offer music that is either free or very affordable, so that we can incite people to come out and see a different, come out and try a different kind of music than they would normally be listening to. We do a lot of the farmers markets, where if you like music, there it's very diverse as to what you could see either in Cool Springs or Glasgow, the Sugar Bowl series that we've been booking for this summer as well. So having free music available to people really, I think, engages them in a different way. Not to say that everything always needs to be free. We do have things that have tickets, not as much recently. But I think when we get people to come out and see free music, I think it changes how they view the arts. I think they understand at that point they can be engaged and they can have fun with it. And it's not going to cost them a fortune. It's not like going to Wells Fargo Center and seeing a big production show. Mm-hmm. But it's very grassroots, and it puts you in touch with what's going on in the arts in Delaware.
So I mean, you've touched on sort of the range of really non-traditional venues
right.
that you work with.
Yes.
Could you speak to that? I mean,
so when you don't own a venue, you have to then create one wherever you go. And we've been particularly good at doing that. And as I said, we started using Film Brothers, which was a little empty space on Lower Market Street between 2nd and 3rd on Market Street. It's now Artscape, I think, is the name of the place. So we would go in there. We'd bring the chairs. We'd bring a cooler for drinks, and we would run our pop up our own show. We also moved it to the Chris White Gallery, and that's fantastic because that's an art gallery upstairs, and downstairs had a performance area, so we use that. We've now using Ernest and Scott on every Wednesday. We have free music there called Wilma Wednesday, so people come out, they eat, and they drink. So pretty much any place can be transformed into a music venue. I'm not saying it would be always the best music venue, but you really can put music anywhere. That's a lot of what we do with Ladybug, and then we'll speak about that later. But Ladybug really transforms any average spot on a street, any business, into a music venue for a night.
Now, how have you seen the growth of your operation over the last 6 years? And sort of the range of experiences you're able to present.
Oh, my goodness. I know, Jeremy, you're probably chomping at the bit to answer that question.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been really, really exciting. I mean, I think starting maybe about 2 years ago, we just started having people reach out to us. I think people started talking to each other like, hey, if you need live music, work with these guys. They're, you know, we're responsive, we're professional, we care, we follow up, we make sure our artists are promoting, we make sure they're not playing too frequently in the area. I think we just through jumping in and doing it, neither of us had a background at all in starting a business, in the music business at all. I'm a musician, so I come at everything on how are we going to make this as positive as possible for the musician. And then, you know, Gail is not a musician. She's more of the consumer minded. I mean, it's a really interesting dynamic that we have. But I think that once it started getting around, like, hey, everybody's having a positive experience working with these guys, it was pretty amazing. We went from having to really create. If we wanted to make a dime, we had to figure out how to make that dime. And then all of a sudden it started shifting over where people would call us and say, I need an artist for this, or I want to do this series, or I want to, you know, can we bring music into ShopRite? Talk about untraditional, you know, venues. If anybody that's listening has been in ShopRites in Delaware and seen someone performing, that is scheduled through Gable Music Ventures. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great opportunity. I mean, for us, we have so many artists that reach out to us. And so it still feels like so few places to offer. So having something like ShopRite available, when an artist says, oh, hey, we're coming through town, do you have anything? It's better to say, yes, we have this basically busking opportunity where you can, you know, make tips and sell your merchandise. And they get fed by ShopRite, and they do make a small stipend as well. And that's a great opportunity that ShopRite reached out and wanted to offer. And now, instead of saying, oh, no, sorry, I don't have anything, we typically have something. And so it's, and then that also spreads within the musical community, and artists are saying, oh, if you're going through Wilmington, if you're going through Delaware, make sure you reach out to Gable Music Ventures. So, you know, as our events get bigger, as Ladybug gets bigger and Smyrna at Night, we just know literally thousands and thousands of artists that we have a really great working relationship with. And we've structured our business in such a way that we don't have formal relationships with the artists. We're not an agency, so we don't have a roster of artists. We don't get paid from the artists. We're an intermediary. We're a service provider for whomever needs music. And mm-hmm. So we can use all those resources and all that information to find the perfect artist for whatever somebody needs.
So do you have the artists coming to you, or do you
do
research? Yeah. How do you vet the artists that come to you?
There two different ways. I mean, a lot of times they come to us, or we'll be out and about listening to music, and we'll say, hey, they'd be great, and we'll reach out to them. So it works both ways. We're open to anybody reaching out through our website. People do that all the time. Or we'll see somebody's playing at a venue somewhere, and we'll go creep on it and go listen to it and say, hey, that person would be great for another opportunity we have. So we just keep our eyes and ears open.
Wilma Wednesday is really the primary one. We carve out, we are there every Wednesday night from 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when an artist reaches out, if they don't have great live video for us to see, because that's the number one easiest way. If someone says, I want to get booked, if I can go to YouTube and see an awesome video of them performing, mm-hmm. that's great. I'm ready to book them based off that. Okay. If they don't have that, though, it's not just a no. It's a, hey, you know, why don't you come out to Wilma Wednesday? We'll see how, you know, our audience reacts to you. And if I like you, then I'll book you on the spot for something. Mm-hmm. And that has also been kind of self-perpetuating because, again, most open mic nights are not run by people that are booking things. They're mm-hmm. just, you know, usually they're run by an artist that wants to perform during the night.
Right.
So there's a lot more value, I think, in Wilma Wednesdays as well. As people are coming in, they'll play something and we'll book them for three shows on the spot. And again, that spreads within the community. So we have a high level of talent coming through Wilma Wednesdays as well.
Could you speak to sort of the evolution of not only the Loma District, Lower Market, but the whole Market Street corridor and your activity in that area over the last 6 years? What is that relationship? Do you see the two feeding off of each other?
Definitely. It has gone through a transformation in the last 6 years, as we all have seen and experienced it. We went from having just the Grand booking music to the opening of World Cafe Live at the Queen. That was in 2011.
Yeah, 2011.
They started booking music there, and we were really partners with them in a lot of ways, booking a lot of music upstairs and doing Wilma Wednesdays. Actually started at the upstairs room at the Queen. We did the shows down on Lower Market Street, which eventually became, you know, was the entree for us to the Ladybug Festival. We've had music at Ernest and Scott. We've done music in the Baby Grand. We even did a show on the stage of the Grand a few years ago with Angela Sheep. Literally, she performed on the stage and the audience was seated on the stage. Mm. She performed with her back to the empty seats and everybody was seated on the stage, which is enormous, by the way.
It was so cool.
It was one of the best shows ever. So doing creative shows like that has really helped everyone up their game. And more importantly, what I think is really important too, it has been putting Delaware on the map for art and music. Mm-hmm. And that is, the more you do, the more people want to come to Delaware, the more we become a destination for original music, live music, and art. And dining, too, because there's lots of new restaurants opening up.
And I'd say there's maybe 30% of the people that live on Market Street that have even discovered it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going to skyrocket once mm-hmm. people do it. I think the artists that we have coming into Wilmington talk about how it's one of their favorite places to mm-hmm. play. And yet you talk to the people who are living on the block a lot of time. I actually live on the block. I live at 3rd and Market. And I talk to my neighbors, and very few of them, you know, go out and see live music. They live two blocks from the Queen and then all this stuff. And it's just really interesting that culture shift hasn't happened yet for the residents down there. But there are people, you know, we have people that come from Lancaster every week that travel to come in.
Yeah.
And yet the people that live within walking distance still haven't quite noticed yet. So when they catch on, it's going to be great. I can't wait to see what happens.
Well, I want to turn to the Ladybug Festival. But first, remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are the co-founders of Gable Music Ventures, Gail Dillman and Jeremy Hebel. Let's turn to the Ladybug Festival. Its origins, what was the inspiration for it, and how you've seen it grow over the last 6 years, is it?
6 years. Yeah. We just celebrated our six-year anniversary with the festival. You know, it started because we were doing music on the Loma block, and Mike Schwartz and Debbie Schwartz wanted to give a thank you to the people who were coming down to the block to see music, to eat at the restaurants, and who lived in the building there. So Mike had said to us, "Hey, I got a little bit of budget. Let's throw a party, say thank you." And we said, "Great, that makes sense." And then simultaneously, that's when Firefly was first announced, and everybody was kind of all up in arms because there was no one local on the lineup. And so we started kind of thinking, and we said, "Well, hey, let's do something on a Thursday, and what can we name it?" And we came up with the idea of Ladybug because we want to stay within the bug name, and we playing off of Firefly. And I said, "Well, let's make it all about women. You know, Ladybug, women, and we'll do something really kitschy." And I'm sure everybody who's going to Firefly is going to come to downtown Wilmington to see it. I was positive. Well, you know, that wasn't exactly true that year. But that's how Ladybug was actually born. We had a very tiny budget. I think we put music in four or five big.
Yeah, it was five venues.
We did shut down.
We shut down the block of Loma just for a few vendors, basically. No outdoor stages. We had 20 acts that we you know put. I think it was four in each venue. It was awesome. I mean, I think we had about 300 people that came. It wasn't anything earth shattering, but on a Thursday in July in Loma, it was. By far the biggest thing we'd managed to do at that point. And the feedback, I mean, the response from every attendee, every artist, and every venue was like, wow, let's do this weekly. You know, let's just keep it going. And, you know, it was really interesting because it was basically, hey, let's do a free, all locally focused alternative for people who can't afford to go to the Ladybug or people that want something more locally focused. And we didn't really know what to think. We reached out to Firefly and said, look what you've inspired. This is really cool. And they were like, oh, that's great. But I mean, we've seen a double in attendance every single year. We did not double this year from last year, but since we had 7,000 people last year, we were still pretty impressed that we had 10,000 this year.
Over the course of two days. So the event has doubled in the days. We've gone from doing it from 1 day to 2 days this past year. And we moved, we stayed on the Loma block, but the second night was brought up to the 800 block of Market Street in front of the Grand. We used the Baby Grand as a venue, Chelsea Tavern, Brouhaha, and Ernest and Scott as our indoor venues, and we had an outdoor stage. But what was interesting about what we tried to accomplish this year on the second day was we really tried to integrate art. So we also had live painting being done, and we had dancers come out as well. And the dancers were just amazing. We had two different dance troupes coming out. They danced on the street. And for anybody who dances and remembers, if they were at Ladybug this year, it was blazingly hot. And these kids were on the street with these little slippers on, and I felt for them, and they were just amazing. The art will be featured in Art Loop in September. I think it's September 8th is the Art Loop. Yes. And we're going to be featuring that art down on Loma Block at the offices for Second and Loma, Debbie Schwartz's business office. And I'm sorry, I don't remember if it's 213 or 217 Market Street. But we want to expand the concept of Ladybug to not just be about music, but to incorporate other aspects of art as well. So far we got a great response. Friday was crazy packed. We were hoping for just a few hundred people to show up, and we literally had thousands of people show up in spite of the heat. And it was hot for 2 days. I will say that. It was pretty darn hot.
To sum up the growth, I mean, you had 2012 was 20 artists in five indoor locations with 300 people. 2017 was 75 artists in, let's say, 2 days, three outdoor stages, 10,000 people. And I think, people are coming up to us and saying, how is this free? How are you doing this for free? And it's because, you know, businesses like Chase and ShopRite
and Second and Loma.
Second and Loma, Downtown Visions, the City of Wilmington. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of support, and other people have picked up on this vision that we have here, attendees including. They see this vision. They love that this thing is growing and growing and growing, and they just want to see how big can it grow. Mm-hmm. It's unlike anything else happening in Wilmington. All other events in Wilmington are kind of, they're as big as they are going to be. Mm-hmm.
And they're very specific to a genre of music.
Right.
Yeah. And Ladybug is not, it's not just one genre of music. Mm-hmm. It's a diverse array of music. So if you like country, you're going to go find that. If you like hip hop, you'll find that. If you like punk rock, you're going to find that as well. And it's all about women. That's another really big piece of this.
More importantly, you may discover that you like a kind of music that you didn't think you liked. We had people that we had really like a real kind of almost punk rock venue during Ladybug Share. And there's this group of, 60 something women that came out and were like, that was awesome. I would never have listened to that. And it was amazing. So that, I think that can be life changing for people. Yeah. It really can be. And I mean, that's what's always the number, that and finding these kids to perform. We had a performer that was 12 years old. They got paid. Everybody gets paid to play. This is not an exposure gig for artists. Every single artist gets paid and gets paid pretty well, considering what the event is. And we're very proud of that. We're very, very proud of that.
And we're proud of Wilmington because the city really shines when we do something like that. People were coming up to me saying, how do you get all these people to come out that are so different from each other. Because socioeconomically, they're all over the gamut. They're racially diverse, age diverse. It's just, it is a reflection of everybody in a really true way. And I just say, you know, we organize it. We run it well. It's safe. We have great food, have great performers. It runs on a schedule. People can get information. And look at Wilmington. Look at all that it can be. One of our venues, not our venues, one of the stores that stayed open on Market Street was the UD Dairy, the new. If you haven't been there, you need to go there because their ice cream is amazing. Yeah. But they told us in the course of 5 hours on Friday, they made 2.5 days worth of income in 5 hours. So economically, this is a great thing to bring to the city of Wilmington.
It's a boon to the city.
It is.
Yeah. And again, it's specific. I mean, we do it that third Thursday and Friday in July because it would be a ghost town. I mean, there would be very few people that would, that would, you know, maybe one or two people might have wandered in and gotten ice cream instead of doing 2.5 days worth of business.
We've got about a minute left. I'm curious, as the Firefly Festival, as the Ladybug Festival grows, What's the recidivism rate of artists, those wanting to return?
High.
almost 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, which is a good thing, but we try to keep it fresh every year. We do have our repeats, and we do have some of our local favorites that we want to, because it is still a local event, but what we are reaching out to, we had artists from Canada and from Cuba this year as well. We had a young group from that was funded by Cabela Calloway. I'm not going to remember the name of the
Vocal Clave de Sol.
Right. And they were amazing. Young girls who play guitar and sing. It was just
We had a
magical experience.
For those who don't know, Cabela is Cab Calloway's daughter.
Yes.
But we had 370 submissions for to be considered this year. And almost everybody that has performed in the past did that submission as well. There were a few exceptions that mainly just weren't available on the day of the event. But we go out of our way to treat artists like gold. You know, when artists are treated really well, they perform better. You know, that's part of our philosophy.
Well, in the 20 seconds we have left, how can people find out about the activities you're involved in?
They can go to our website, gablemusicventures.com, and keep a calendar on that. So,
Or Ladybug Festival, theladybugfestival.com as well.
Either one.
Well, Gail Dillman and Jeremy Hubble, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Great to hear all the great work you're doing.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.